guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Hey, this is Ring of Honor Superstar Donovan Dijak, and you're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
This is the one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, the most unprofessional professional wrestling podcast on the planet, and we're damn proud of it, bitches! With that said, I'm joined, as always, by Hardbody Harper and Doc Turner. Harper, how you doing this week, man?
Doing all right. Trying to get over watching fucking Star Wars.
Are you still trying to get over that, man?
Yeah.
All right. Did it depress you or something? I mean, I'm confused.
Well, just don't go see it.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I am planning on checking it out at some point. Doc, what's going on, man? How you doing this week?
Man, this is the Christmas go-home show, ain't it?
Yeah.
This is the Christmas go-home show. For the record, we're recording this on December the 20th, 2017, and it will air first and debut, I guess is the word the kids are using nowadays, on December 21st, 2017. So, yeah, this is the Christmas go-home show. So, merry motherfucking Christmas. That's how professional we are here.
Well, let me tell you something.
Yeah?
In the classiest way I can.
What's that,
and
pal?
Nothing gets me out of the motherfucking Christmas spirit faster than motherfucking Christmas.
Yeah?
This shit's a fucking beating, dude.
It's all a work, bro. That's the problem.
It's all a work.
It's a marathon.
It's a marathon when you got kids. Now everybody but in the house is sick except for me and little Latrell. So we're trying to like spray Lysol at people and shit. Dude, it's a battlefield, man. The whole thing is a war. Christmas, they say war on Christmas. Nah, Christmas is a war, dude.
Christmas is a war upon itself.
Dude, imagine how it was like when we were kids, when your mom and dad had to go to the mall and fight to get the fucking Castle Grayskull and shit.
Bruh, fuck that shit. I have bought anything and everything from Amazon. tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Use it. But no, seriously, every fucking present I've gotten has been bought through Amazon. I'm not going to no mall. I ain't going to no goddamn store. The only thing I go to the store for is motherfucking groceries, because I got to eat.
Well, you got to be careful. You heard about that, Mike. Over the mall we would go to, there was a shooting not too long ago.
Dude, that sure was. That's a 100% true story, man. There was a shooting at the mall not far from where Doc and I live. Yeah,
man,
so screw that mall bullshit. But we're here to talk about a little wrestling this week, so let's get into that. Hold on.
No, before wrestling, people are interested in your life, Mike. I get a lot of feedback from the fans, the Docaholics.
You're not even online. What are you talking about?
I know how to collect data, pal.
Yeah, through your wife's fucking phone, trolling via her Twitter onto I'm going to repeat it. This is how Doc gets his news. He doesn't follow anyone on Twitter. He gets on his wife's phone and goes to the BTT feed, and he scrolls down, and he sees what's posted and what is being responded to. So he can't even fucking work Twitter. That's his ghetto way of working Twitter.
I get on Skype and find that guy Alan from Zimbabwe and go...
It's real classy, Doc. Can you get to the point?
I send you some Newports because it's Christmas time.
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, so basically, there's two questions that I got this week that we need Mike's the Menace's spotlight here on. One, how much Pennsylvania Dutch has Mike consumed this Christmas season?
I haven't had any yet. I actually got to make a run to the liquor store before the weekend to get a bottle.
The what?
Liquor store.
The liquor store.
Yeah, the liquor store. Yeah, you know, because fucking Texas got stupid rules. You can't just go to the goddamn grocery store and get your goddamn liquor.
I saw that stuff at Walmart.
Do you mean liquor store?
Get to the point. I haven't had any. What's your next question, asshole?
Okay.
Come on, we got wrestling to talk about here, man.
Well, and trust me, people want to know this stuff. Here's the second question. Has Mike ever been with a white broad?
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
In the past 10 years.
I mean, well, I've been married for 10 years, so that's going to be a negative on that one.
God damn.
Yeah. That means Mike hadn't had sex in 10 years.
I know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say negative on that in the last 10 years for sure. That's definitely negative.
But you have sampled the vanilla treats.
Oh, bro, I didn't had vanilla, caramel, yeah, chocolate. It, you know, I didn't. I couldn't. There hasn't been. I mean, I don't know what I ain't been with, bro. I mean, shit.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, can we get to talking about some wrestling, man?
I just wanted to make sure that we take care of the sweet, sweet duckaholics out there here at Christmas time. They're my favorite people in the whole world. I'm definitely their hero. And now we can move on and talk about some classic wrestling. Hey, wait, real quick. Speaking of classic wrestling, I saw some people on our Twitter feed the other day saying they tried to watch SmackDown, and it made them see how much they appreciate the classic product.
Hell yeah.
You don't need to do that. Just listen to me. There is nothing for you. If you're listening to this show, there is nothing for you on SmackDown or Raw that you need.
At Thin Man Within said that, and I do want to say something. So after he said that, I flipped it to SmackDown, and Randy Orton is out there. Doc, if I'm lying, I'm dying. That motherfucker's got a Stanfield Lane beaver pelt on his head right now.
What?
No. I'm not bullshitting. He's got I mean, I don't have any proof, but I'll be damned if Randy Orton is not sporting a Wallace Stanfield Lane Smoky Mountain style beaver pelt on the top of his head right now.
You know, I was going to say before you said that, I was going to say there was nothing you could say that would make me want to tune in for 10 seconds. But that might be it, because all I can see is Randy Orton's "let's go to the bar and pick a fight with some people" kind of attitude and haircut. So,
well, if you got Hulu, it was late in the second hour maybe of it when I turned it to it and saw it, and I came unglued.
I'm just gonna hold on. I'm gonna Google Randy Orton beaver pelt and see what happens.
Well, while you do that, I am going to give a shout out and then get us going for the NWA show this week. So first off, I do want to shout out new patron Danny Z 1968 for becoming a patron this past week. Send me your Twitter handle or your Facebook and I'll shout you out again next week and tell the BTC Army to go follow you. So I appreciate Danny, you becoming a patron, man. We thank you for that. While I'm talking about becoming a patron, here's the thing. Harper has watched World Class now. Doc and I have watched it as well, all of December of 82, and we're going to be recording those soon. We don't have the dates in mind yet, but I promise we're on it. You know, it's 5 episodes we had to get through as a pair. Hold on, Doc, because I know you looked it up.
Well, I didn't see it, but the first. Well, here's the thing. The first thing that came up is Mike Mills' Twitter saying that, when did Orton get a Smoky Mountain Wrestling-styled Stan Lane beaver pelt installed on his head?
I told you. So, but back to the world-class stuff. So, we are working on it, and we will have two world-class championship wrestlings coming out for the patrons soon, as soon as we can get them recorded. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron to become a patron. It costs as little as $2 a month, and you get access to all the patron episodes, access to potentially come on the show, and whatnot. So, Doc, we'll save that thought. We'll talk about the pelt in a minute or later on maybe in the show. So let's get into it. We're talking NWA WCW from September the 6th of 1986. We're sponsored by the Wrestling Palace. I want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Check them out on Facebook. Just search the Wrestling Palace. My buddy Arturo, he can get anything you want wrestling memorabilia wise. So go on there, send him a message. He's got his phone number on there as well to his shop, and see if he can hook you up if there are things you're looking for. All right, get into this thing. So they open up the show. I'm just going to play the opening real quick because it's kind of short, and Cornette comes in, and here that is.
Welcome to World Championship Wrestling. David Crockett, Tony Schiavone. Tony, listen, United States Tag Team Tournament. It's going to be right here
in Atlanta.
At the Omni, the tournament for the United States Tag Team Championship was announced last week, and all the teams, or many of the teams that you will see competing in that tournament going after that United States Tag Team Championship will be here as teams today on this program.
That's right. The best wrestling teams in the world you'll see right here in World Championship Wrestling.
That's exactly right, and let's bring in right now our guest host once again for this program.
Oh, shut up once in a while!
The manager of the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette.
And you know something? When you talk about a U.S. Tag Team Title Tournament, when you talk about any kind of tag team wrestling, you're talking about my men, the Midnight Express, Tony and David. And I'll tell you one thing, the Omni U.S. Tag Team Title Belts, they're as good as ours. They're as good as the Midnight Expresses. They're going to be around our waist just like rock and roll. Those World Tag Team titles are going to be back around our waist. And the U.S. Tag Team Title would be the perfect stepping stone to corner those two cowards, the rock and roll, into giving us another match for our belts. And when we do, we'll have everything. The Midnight Express Loverboy did us a beautiful Bobby. We'll dominate tag team wrestling. We'll be the greatest that there's ever been. And everybody will know it. And there'll be no disputing it, Tony Schiavone. We will have the proof when we have all the belts around our waist.
All the great stars of the NWA are here today, including one of the teams going in that tournament, Buddy Landell and superstar Bill Dundee. Let's go to the ring.
Okay, before I throw it to this conversation, Harper, did you find anything about the beaver pelt that's on Randy Orton's head? Or okay. All right, Doc, did you want to say anything about that before we give our reaction to the promo there?
I'm having some network connections problems on my interwebs, so...
Okay.
Tag Team Title Tournament. Yippee-skippy.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
I love the fact that as soon as they lose their NWA World titles, now Corny's like, yeah, fuck that. We're gonna get those U.S. titles. You're not worried about
it. I mean, there's a whole lot of false importance put on these damned U.S. titles for the next hour.
Yes, yeah. It sure is. Harper, any thoughts on that promo right there? All right. So the next matchup, or first matchup, in a only 67-minute episode of NWA WCW this week. I should point that out. The next 2 weeks are actually just above 40 minutes for the record.
Fuck yeah. Merry fucking Christmas.
There you go.
May your stockings be full of shit. Oh.
That's nice, Doc. So next matchup is Buddy Landell and Bill Dundee versus Johnny Cook and Rocky King. I'm almost certain this... Johnny Cook guy is making his first appearance. Johnny Cook guy gets a nice clothesline from Dundee.
Jesus
body
Christ.
Slam. Yeah, I'm sure you saw that. Then he's body slammed on the concrete to a splatter, like one of the Malkies. And Dundee and Budrow end up winning when Landell hits the corkscrew and then the figure four. Harper, thoughts on what you saw there in that match?
That fucking clothesline looked fucking vicious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cook he fucking punched off. Him in the mouth. Yeah.
He did. It was pretty damn bad.
I love Buddy Landell's back elbow. He really puts it in there nice and sweet.
Yeah. Old Budrow. Good old Budrow. Doc, what did you have from it?
I thought that the clothesline was something. But, man, I thought, you know, there's a lot of conjecture out there. People are like, Dundee, his working punches are not real worked punches, that he'll just throw a real punch on you. He threw those slap punches, like, underneath the chin, like, underneath the jawline. Them shits look real. That shit looks stiff, man. And I just continue to be impressed with Rocky King. That's a guy who needed to get out from driving the rock and roll around and make it something of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it with Bobby Blaze. We talked about it weeks ago, months ago. He didn't get the... He got the raw deal there, man. Rocky King was really good. Again, I've seen him on numerous worldwides where he works long matches, very entertaining. There's one against Rick I've seen. There's one against Ivan Koloff that was a long one. A bunch of long matches I've seen him on NWA Worldwide. And Rocky King was – he's very underrated. I mean, you don't think of him, but he was really good.
And the other thing here, and we talked about nostalgia or thinking about things and how – when you look back on it, how accurate are you? Man, when I think Bill Dundee, I think Memphis. So it's just odd. Kind of like Garvin has that world class on him.
Yeah.
Dundee just looks out of place here to me. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong. It's just...
Yeah. Picture them in a certain place. I agree. I'm in the same way with, like we said, Jimmy Garvin is world class. Dundee for us is he's a Memphis guy. There are people who are synonymous with certain things, and And, you know, it's a fact.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, so like I said, Dundee and Budrow get the win there. From that, we go to a match with the a promo with Ivan and Nikita. Here it is. Let's give it a listen.
And I've been joined at ringside by the Russians, Ivan and Nikita Koloff. Nikita, of course, the new United States heavyweight champion.
Oh, we've just seen another great team in action right there that's going to be, I'm sure, ending this tag team tournament for United States tag team belts. Well, we have our orders from the Kremlin, and that is to control wrestling in America, to conquer America. And the way to do that is for nephew Nikita to keep United States heavyweight title, for Crusher and myself to win this tag team tournament for the United States title. And we intend on do this. I understand that the tournament is already being signed for the near future in the Omni here in Atlanta. Well, you can be sure we'll be in there. I'll talk more about this later. But now, it is so important for nephew Nikita to hold on to United States heavyweight title because that makes him number one contender for the world title that Ric Flair has got. Now, there's a lot of competition coming after nephew Nikita, like Wahoo McDaniel, this legend in wrestling. He became a legend because of all the titles and trophy and accomplishments he has done in the past. Dick Murdoch, Captain Redneck, this Rock and Roll Express, American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, this Ron Garvin. Oh, there's a lot of tough competition and a lot more than I have just named. But nephew Nikita is superior, and he is going to keep the United States title.
Uncle Ivan, he's a wrong Garland. He gave a test to Nikita like no one before. But what I do, I prove to all people now, I go hour in match. I can take anyone the whole, how do you say, whole time limit in match. But who got title, Garland? Nikita got. You know got it. And I can go anywhere with you. Maga T.A. This American Dream. I don't care who want to take Nikita on. I'm going to defeat and put down, and I'm going to remain this you as a champion. And this Indian Uncle Ivan McDaniel, you hold on to your title for now. I'm going to take back Baku, but Soviet Soyuz, and take home.
Yeah. And we'll be back with...
Hearing a fake Russian call Wahoo an Indian. Doc, what did you have from that?
I don't know why little things make me happy, but hearing Ivan say Captain Redneck was funny.
Yeah, no, huh?
It's just an odd turn of phrase for him. We continue to question the validity of actually him getting wrestling orders straight from the Kremlin, their wrestling division. And
right.
Nikita sounds to me like I imagine like an Asian American would sound to my dad. Like, what? Huh? What? Can you speak up in English? That's what, just, I'm confused. I feel like my ears kind of turn to jelly when he starts talking and it doesn't pick anything up.
Well, at least your ears don't need a rape kit. Hopper, yeah. What did you have? Anything?
They claim Nikita talked like that in public,
sure.
Right? Right, yes. Dude. And if I was in the back and I had to talk to him about something, he's, Chris Hopper. I'd be like, dude, shut the fuck up, bro.
They said Arnie Anderson used to bust his balls constantly about
it. Fuck that. I couldn't deal with that.
Like, yeah, he'd be on the bus or the right. Train or whatever in character.
Could you imagine trying to have, like, a real conversation with him? Like, okay, you know, just... This is how our match should go. Like, duck, clothesline, then suplex.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Bobby Blaze was saying that he worked him one time on a show, or I don't know if it was just one time, but he said, like, I think it was a show that either Bobby was booking or something, and so Bobby had to call him to book him, and he answered the phone in gimmick. And he said when he finally talked to him, like, at the show, it wasn't a gimmick, but... Yeah,
but if you're gonna go that far, go that far. I mean, shit. Yeah. Dusty worked his kid with a broken leg for months.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, even after he knew who Bobby was, and Bobby was booking him, and Bobby's talking to him, he's like he's carrying a conversation on the phone the whole time, and in Nikita Koloff gimmick. But
okay,
Well,
let me ask you this, Mike. So you had guys, you knew guys that you know lived their gimmick more than other guys. But if you were in the van on one of those trips and somebody was pulling something like that, what would have the response from the boys been?
I mean, mean, that kind of depends on who's in the van, because, I mean, you have, like, a seniority type thing, too. I mean, if it, I can tell you right now, if it's even in 1996, 97, if I'm in a van and Nikita Koloff's talking like that at 22 years old, I'm not going to say shit. I'm just going to be, I'm just going to sit there and I'm just not going to say anything. I mean,
but if you're,
my thing,
if you're,
my thing was always be silent. It's, it's different, like, to say that at 21 versus fucking 43, you know, because now I just don't give two shits. Back then I did. You know, back then I, like, fucking, I was real quiet, man. I wasn't ruffling feathers. I was told to respect people. But, like, right now I'd be like, why the fuck do you always talk like that? You know, I mean, if it's just me now, because I don't care. You know, I make my money doing other things. Fuck it. You don't like me in a wrestling business. Oh, that's your problem. Not that I'm in a car ever. Haven't been in one in a very long time, but that's my point. So
you haven't been in a car in a very long time?
Not with a bunch of wrestlers. Shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fuck that. You know, and like,
what if, okay, so what if it was you and Tommy Rich and Nikita Koloff in character?
Jesus Christ. That's a fucking train wreck. I'd probably fucking pull my 9mm out and blow my fucking head off.
Hey, man. This is a sensitive week to be bringing up train wrecks.
Yeah.
I don't the Von Erich. Eric.
Wow.
Offer was thinking there. Okay. Let me give my thoughts. Yeah, Ivan, with the whole thing about continuing to get orders from the Kremlin, I guess their wrestling division is sending them the orders to control. He even used the words, we've got our orders from the Kremlin, which is to control wrestling in America. Okay, that's awesome. Back when kayfabe was still real. Oh shit. Okay, let's keep going. So we got next up, we got another promo back-to-back. It's not a match, but we got Magnum and Dusty. So let's give that a listen. Here it is.
We've talked about great tag teams going after the United States Tag Team Championship. Here's another one, America's team, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA.
I said all the talk right now is about the big tag team tournament. The United States Tag Team Championship's on the line. Well, America's team's putting in our bid for those very prestigious titles. We know the Russians really would love nothing more than to add the U.S. Tag Team titles right along with the U.S. Heavyweight Championship. Well, my friends, we've got a little plan in store for everybody out there. They say we've never attained any great tag team championships. We've never really set our goals on anything and gone after it and said we were going to take it. Well, this tournament is going to prove to be a milestone in professional wrestling history, and America's team has got a whole lot of surprises for all the competition.
You know, Tony, the other thing is, too, that Ole Anderson went down in Tampa. Dusty Rhodes and national tag team titles were held up. United States Tag Team Tournament in the Omni coming up. Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, America's team, going to bring the United States Tag Team titles, brand new belts, brand spanking new, bring them back to this country right here. The U.S. single belt, Nikita Koloff, two men right here, both hot on your trail. But Ole Anderson, remember one thing, the reason you did not have the national tag team titles any longer is the American Dream put you up on the farm up there at the sawmill in Wisconsin, Ole Anderson. So right now, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, America's team, United States Tag Team Title Tournament coming. The Omni, it's going to be electrified funk, Jack.
Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA. There's a look at the United States Tag Team Championship belts. Another great.
Boy, Doc, you said it a little while ago, man. They pedal pushing them belts at this point. Harper, your thoughts on
fucking tag team? Tag team. The tag team division is fucking heating up now. Fuck.
Somebody call the Wild Bunch.
Yeah, somebody, we should get start the, one.
For real, get the Wild Bunch in there, man. Damn. Doc, thoughts on Magnum and Dusty?
Electrified funk, pal. I'm all in on that shit. Yeah, I like that too. They showed those two belts, the tagged belts.
Mm-hmm.
Those belts didn't do much for me. They look kind of, well, I don't know.
I never really liked the design of them. I actually like... not the current NWA World titles, but the tag titles, the next ones that come after the current ones they have. I like those. I don't know how to explain them, but I really
don't know what you're talking about, but I did not like the two belts that I saw on that screen just then.
Yeah, I don't like them either.
And I thought Magnum's makeup looked pretty good on that cut.
He didn't look like he went around with the belt sander.
Uh-uh.
At all. Or a few rounds, like he usually does.
I thought they just did a lighter job on the makeup.
That's not makeup, doctor. He healed up since last week.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep going. The next match is Ron Garvin and Dick Murdoch. Boy, you want to talk about some bruisers there. Holy shit, I wouldn't want to go around with those two. Versus Brody Chase and Alan Martin. Cornette, during the match on commentary, says Dick Murdoch will blow his breath in your face and knock you out quicker than if Garvin punched you. And we all know if Garvin punches you, you're going to go down. So I thought that was kind of funny. Harper, did you catch that line?
Yeah.
A good one.
He's saying because he was a drunk.
Yeah.
Okay.
I had that same thing pulled out.
Yeah, because he's a redneck, I guess.
Yeah.
That was where
he drives around in his pickup truck and he listens to that country music and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And that's everything you hate, Mike.
Hate is one thing. I just don't care.
Dislike.
It's not even hate or dislike. I just don't care.
You
hate
country music.
Fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
Okay. That sounds like a country song.
Yeah, Don Williams.
Is that a country song? You know where I got that line from? That movie Varsity Blues.
Yeah, Varsity Blues. The big fat kid.
The big fat girl. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. That's where I got that from.
The depth of your pop culture knowledge is really staggeringly pathetic.
The depth of your dick is non-existent. Okay,
it's all the way in, pal. Ball bag deep.
Anyway, so that visual is terrible. This match, Ronnie Garvin stretches the shit out of one of these poor bastards.
Hold on, I got that too. It was Brody Chase, and I said Garvin looked like he was about to tear Brody Chase's shoulder straight out of the damn socket.
Did you see it, Hopper?
Yeah, fuck that shit, dude.
He had him cranked.
What the fuck?
You better be quiet. Ronnie Garvin's still out there lurking around somewhere, and he looks tough.
Dude, he had... And I love that
he had him in a hold, and he's like, fuck you, and just slapping him. Fuck you. What you gonna do? What the fuck you gonna do? Fuck you.
Man, wouldn't it have been awesome if Brody Chase hulked up and was like the shooter of all shooters?
I would have loved to have seen that.
He was just Brock Lesnar incarnate.
Can you imagine like one of those Saturday Night Jobbers, enhancement talent, I'm sorry, standing up and fucking doing the finger wave like Hogan to Garvin?
Big Bill Tab goes, now that's enough, motherfucker.
Jesus, man. Doc, you nailed it. He had it, like, he had that bastard's arms twisted and pulled back. Like, he was ready to pull him out of socket. Fuck.
I was like, there's no way a man's joints bend that way. There's no call for this.
Right. Ron Garvin knocks out Alan Martin, giving his team the win. And then he gives Martin some good old-fashioned Saturday night chin nuts and...
Yeah.
And he was kind of turned to the side, but, bro, his balls were on that fucking dude's chin, man. Just, yeah. And, Harper, any other thoughts on that one?
No.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, go ahead.
When they're laying there, there's one, two, three, then a guy kind of lifts his head up and kisses his balls real quick, and he just goes back and lays down.
I was going to say if he just tickled him with his finger. Because you're not sitting still if somebody tickles your balls. I don't care. Especially if you're not expecting it.
I have no response. No response to that. That's a good one, Hopper. all right, let's keep going. Up next is a Garvin and Murdoch promo. This is one I want to take a vote on. Doc, what's your vote?
Let's go ahead and skip that one, pal.
Okay. All right, so after that, special.
Let me sum it up. They kiss each other's ass, and Garvin is like, and if anybody's the tough guy to watch my back, this is the guy that's going to do it. And then he says that about four more times.
You nailed it. Because that's what they did. I mean, look, none of these guys are Mr. Personality. I mean, they're not going to go out there and...
Well, you know, Murdoch is, but not as a baby face.
Well, that's what I meant. I mean, they're two faces here. It's just not going to, they're not going to light the board on fire, so to say. It ain't happening. They're not going to start scoreboarding right there. All right, so we'll keep going. It's the next match is Wahoo McDaniel versus Lee Peek. In the middle of the match on commentary, Cornette has to leave because he gets a phone call. And here's a spoiler. He doesn't come back till the very end. And I think it's Mama Cornette who called him. Wahoo gets some vicious chops in on Peek. At one point, Wahoo has him pinned, but picks him up off the canvas in a true heel fashion, even though he's a face. Wahoo eventually finishes this bastard off when he nails him and pins him. Harper, thoughts on anything here?
I think he's a heel in disguise.
He really is.
Yeah.
Just the chops and God.
My note was not only did he pick him up at two, but earlier he threw him out of the ring.
Yeah.
Like, to the far side, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Mm-hmm.
I can forgive that almost, but when you pick a man up and you've got him pinned, that's just.
That's 100% heel 101.
Yeah.
Squatch. I don't know.
I remember Bundy doing that a lot, whether it was WWF or even in Mid-South, he did that a lot when Bundy was there. He would, you know, he came up with the five count for one, but the thing was, he would always do the whole two count thing and then pick the guy up. And I was like, this is the ultimate heel move. So,
well, and
you know.
I had this note for later, but I bet we skip his promo is, man, they have those U.S. belts. He ought to turn, this is where he could turn heel and be like, man, I'm a proud Indian. Fuck America. it's when they do that promo. We get, you know, when they do the national.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's coming up later on.
He should turn heel on these sons of bitches.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, we'll keep going. Well, Harper, did you have anything from it?
No.
All right. Next match is Rock and Roll Express versus Phil Brown and Ray Aaron. I'm pretty sure Ray Aaron may be making his Saturday Night debut too. Rock and Roll win with a double drop kick. This thing was quick. Harper,
yeah.
Anything from it?
No.
I mean, either Doc, you.
Ray Aaron making his Saturday night debut. His debut.
Okay, and then after that, well, it's time for some Ric Flair, so let's give it a listen.
Back with you now on World Championship Wrestling, and let's bring in the heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair, along with Baby Dome.
Actually, let's put the camera on the heavyweight champion of the world so that the people around the world can see just exactly what style. Get these shoes one time, guy. Get these shoes. These shoes cost more than most people's homes sitting in this audience. Now, we're talking about the National Wrestling Alliance. We're talking about the World Heavyweight Champion. We're talking about Baby Doll. We're talking about Tully Blanchard. We're talking about Arn and Ole Anderson. We're talking about the cream of the crop, the most successful group of wrestlers anywhere in the world. Woo! And it's true, the National Wrestling Alliance is taking the world champion and the Four Horsemen on tour. We're going to be in Baltimore and Dusty Rhodes. After Baltimore, there'll be no more American Dream. Then we're going to Green Bay. We're going to Minneapolis, Minnesota. And speaking of Minneapolis, Minnesota, just happens to be a town that has the privilege of saying they raised a world heavyweight champion. Woo! Talking about myself. But you see, they've come to know the Road Warriors as being a big deal in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, Dal, from a female standpoint of view, how would you view the Road Warriors?
Well, Rick, from my point of view, it's all show and no go.
That's it, exactly. A couple of guys with big muscles, like a lot of women I know, not like Baby Doll, but with a full sweater and an empty head. In other words, all this right here, but nothing up here to make it go round and round. You see, now we talk about Dusty Rhodes. The American Dream used to be Doll's main man. But you see, then the Doll decided she wanted to be with some championship caliber men. So you see, the Doll's looking at Nikita Koloff. And Nikita, I'm glad you're the U.S. champion, but don't start looking my way, Daddy, because remember, I'm Slick Rick, Magnum TA, little skinny neck, little skinny arms, the Rock and Roll Express. How about the Rock and Roll Express, huh?
I would say that they've got all these little girls falling because they just don't have the experience to know what's
what
really going on.
You've never worn a training bra. You're really not qualified to talk about them. In other words, the world champion, Baby Doll, the Four Horsemen. Woo! Whether you like it or not, we're what's happening in professional wrestling.
Nature Boy Ric Flair and Baby Doll, let's go to the ring.
I actually thought Rick really, he wasn't like anything special there, but he's so good. He could just make 3 minutes just sound great.
Yeah.
Doc, what did you have?
I think you shortly put up what I'm about to take a longer time to put over. I think when you're watching this stuff, we've been doing this now for what? About nine and a half, 10 months.
Yeah, we're getting close to a year.
It's easy to need, and all wrestling fans are like this, and it's way worse today than it used to be back then. But everybody wants to see something new, something this, an angle, a turn, new players coming in, whatever. Sometimes, especially if you're talking about 86 Jim Crockett promotions, I think you have to stop every once in a while and just realize that this is almost as good as it gets. And so Rick just got out there for 3 minutes and he didn't really usher any catchphrases or, I mean, it was on it. And so, yeah, he did say the shoes cost more than their house, but he didn't have anything that you would write down in the top 20 of all time Ric Flair lines. Although I do take a little bit of offense because what's wrong with an empty head and a full sweater, but it was just really, really good. Really, really good. And he covered a lot of ground. I mean, from the Road Warriors to the American Dream to, hey, Nikita, I like that you won it, but don't look at me, pal. And those red shoes were something.
Yeah, those
no wonder the black professional athlete likes Ric Flair so much. He's like their style guru.
Okay. Harper, what did you have from it?
Isn't Babe and Al Seymour put together now?
Yeah, that's what handing it out with champions will do for you.
Yeah, I mean, she looks like, she's like a newer, improved Baby Doll.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, I've noticed her apparel is definitely a lot different with Rick.
With the sunglasses, and she seems to have more confidence in herself.
Yeah, it's flashier, you know. I mean, uh-huh. you're going to hang with the world champ, you're going to be flashier. And, I mean, she kind of was... I think she was kind of like that with Tully, too, to be honest.
Hey, they got to explain that.
Yes.
That resolution at some
How come
point.
No one brings that up?
I need to know what's going on there. Tully beat her.
I know. Well, what the fuck?
You know, well, we've said this before whenever we used to talk about the current product. A lot of times, man, everything didn't always make sense. You gotta be realistic. I mean, we love it. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, I could poke holes in a lot of stuff that you see in the past. Now,
you need to shut, fucking mouth.
They did 90% of everything right. Usually, not like today where it's just the opposite. 5 to 10% maybe gets done right in that big company up north that I'm not supposed to talk about, but. I just want to say,
because we have, you know, I'm pretty sure that Baby Doll's out there listening. You look good this week, girl.
Yeah, what's up, girl?
See?
She does.
That.
She looks good. It's funny.
Get that paper.
I retweeted last week's show today, last week's NWA show today, and she hadn't seen it. She retweeted it, like, early this morning. So, Baby Doll, we still want you on the show. Looking
she's
good on here, as always.
She's a docaholic.
Probably. Okay. Harper, anything else from Ric Flair there?
Uh-uh.
All right. The next match is the Road Warriors versus Art Pritz and Darren Evans. And I'm laughing because, once again, the enhancement talent in the ring, you know, one of them's picking his nose, one of them got his fucking pinky up his ass and sipping on lemonade at the same time, and the Road Warriors at the ring, and they just destroy him. And that's what it was. And Harper, anything?
It's almost like you got two pit bulls that are trained like a Michael Vick pit bulls against your standard dog that just sits in a backyard and barks at the mailman. And and he doesn't know what's coming. He has no idea what the fuck's coming, and you sick the two Michael Vick pit bulls on his ass. That's what this is.
They might both be dogs, but they ain't the same animal.
That's a perfect analogy. You're right. You're so right. It's like the pit bulls are unleashed, and the other dog just like
sitting there, a fucking licking his balls, you know, barking at a squirrel.
Helpless. He's helpless.
The sap of the dog world.
Yeah, good point.
Well,
so,
I tell you who did do it right.
Who's that?
Pee-wee Anderson flew out of the ring, out of the way, like he had been fucking, somebody poured boiling hot water on him. So at least the referee knows how to sell it. Go back and watch that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Now you say he did. He jettisoned. Okay, so let's keep going. The next one is I'm going to play this. It's a standard Road Warriors promo, but Hawk says something that's funny, so let's hear it.
Number one, Jimmy Cornette, when you see somebody, don't say hello, say boo. Number two, the U.S. Tag Team titles are on the line. The Legion of Doom won the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup. The U.S. Tag Team titles are just as prestigious, and we'd like a shot at those titles somewhere down the line. Come on, man. At Drake Tony Giovanni, we won $1 million at a Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup. And if we decide to, we would like nothing better than to be U.S. Tag Team Champions. And we'll take it if we want to do it. Now, Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Minneapolis, Minnesota, Met Sports Center, get ready, because the Warriors are going to kick some butt, right, brother?
Tony Schiavone, you know, the nicest thing about being Animal or Hawk is you can do whatever you want to do. If you want to go down to the Atlanta Zoo and knock out Willie B. the Gorilla, you can do it. If you want to go to the Atlanta Zoo and knock out an elephant or baby doll, you can do it. You see, we do what we want, and the people know it, because you can't fool them. They say the Road Warriors said they're going to do this, and they did it. Now everybody's on our list. Everybody. That includes the Four Horsemen. That includes the Midnight Express or anybody else who's dumb enough to get in the ring with us. Because you gotta be plenty dumb to get in the ring with us.
That's right. There's a lot of teams.
Harper, thoughts?
That's nice, calling her an elephant.
That's not classy.
That's not classy at all. I guess they're picking up where Cornette left off.
That's exactly what I thought when I heard him say
they were like, man, that was some good shit. We should get on that in on that now.
Yes. That's exactly, bruh. As soon as he said it, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Because she's flipping it. You know, since now she's a heel like Corny, she basically flipped. So Corny can't attack her anymore. So Hawk, you know, leans into it. Harper, anything else?
No. It's just your standard Road Warrior promo. Fucking got over. Crowd loved it.
Yeah. Doc, you were chuckling.
Well, the knocking out, going to head down to the zoo and knock out a gorilla and an elephant popped me for some reason. Because it's just, it paints a picture. I could see Hawk down there yelling at a zoo animal and then in a rage punching him out. Or just,
he's like, that one. That one right there. Come here, motherfucker.
And then yelling, what a rush. So it paints an interesting visual that's, it's a good promo. Here's my other thought. So we have some intel that Ellering was really their business manager, right?
Yes.
So if you showed up to your business manager and he was wearing a bathrobe with Chinese or Japanese symbols on it, would you have a lot of faith in your business manager?
Yeah, because it's wrestling.
Oh. But I'm talking about, he really did their managing.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. It's wrestling. It didn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you got to see, like, the other part.
Somebody,
you
got to
always remember, wrestling was like the fucking circus, bro.
I get it. But somebody in their bathrobe that wants my passwords for my accounts is I'm not so sure about all that.
I don't know, man. I mean, he did such a good job for years. They were fine with it. What the hell? And again, well, it's wrestling.
One of them's not alive anymore, so there's that.
Well, I mean, that has nothing to do with
with
their manager. Use,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't fucking, you know, I don't want to talk about that. Cause,
how long did he he really managed their finances, like to the WWE and on, or was it just when he was managing doing wrestling?
I don't know. Somebody out there will know, but I mean, he handled it for him. I mean, I know eventually when they leave Crockett, I don't know if he goes with him right away. I can't remember.
No.
But I can. I mean,
because he showed up later on,
right? Yeah. Like when they first left,
right?
He didn't go with them or wasn't with them.
He
came in later.
Or something.
God.
Yeah. And you know, we laugh and talk about Ellering, but you know, when he wasn't with them, something was missing.
Yeah.
Like, was you it? Talk about how, because his promos aren't all that great with them, and he, because, you know, he was their legit manager, but my point is, when you watch Ellering without the Road Warriors, it's not the same. Like, later on, when you see them without him, it's like, they're the Warriors, but something's missing. It's just, at least to me.
I don't have that problem.
Okay, well, I do. Anyway, Harper sounded like he agreed with me, so you can go fuck yourself, Doc.
Hold on, I'll be right back. I'm going to go fuck myself.
There you go. Hey, all right. Okay, let's keep going. So after the Warriors, we got another promo, and it's JJ and Tully. And here it is.
Fans, will go to our Schick match of the week in just a second. Now with Tully Blanchard Enterprises, kind of concerned about what is in the plans for Tully Blanchard Enterprises since losing the national heavyweight title.
Well, as I've said earlier on national television, when we walk through the airports, no matter where we go, when I go to the bank, when I go to the stock market, when Mr. Blanchard goes to the tanning salon, when he goes to the gym to work out, they don't say there is a former national heavyweight champion. They don't even discuss the national championship. It's not important at this time. What they do say is that there is the man that crippled the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Now, I've known the American Dream for a long time. This is not a new relationship. This thing goes back a long, long way. And I know he's got his hands full right now with Big Bubba Rogers. And I don't know which way it's going to go, but I'm smart enough, talking about me now, and Mr. Blanchard, to know that we can't bank on Big Bubba to stop the American Dream. Because no matter how hard Bubba comes at him, no matter how bad he hurts him, the Dream's going to get back up, and we're going to be looking in his face someday, someplace, sometime. The same as when Tully Blanchard crashed that chair across his leg in Kansas City. Everybody said, hey, he's not going to get up. He's not going to show in St. Louis. But I know the Dream. I knew he'd be there. And what happened, he's got to live with. But someplace, sometime, we're going to have to deal with the man. But you see, there's no fear in our face. Because Tully Blanchard, title, no title's not important. What is important is he's a classic wrestler. He always has been. He always will be. And that's the bottom line that's going to take the Dream down, that this man can out-wrestle him. He's proven it twice.
You know, Dusty Rhodes, as tough an athlete, as bad a man as you think you are, and you are, because you've taken some awful whoopings in the past, and you've always come back. But you know, Dusty Rhodes, when you have gotten that squared circle with me, and you and I are no strangers. And you knew when you were looking up in that dressing room, talking about breaking my legs in 86. After what happened, and after you had to look up at that ceiling in the arena in St. Louis and be stripped of that World's Heavyweight Championship, and I caused it. That's right, Tully Blanchard, one of the Four Horsemen, caused it. You knew someday you were going to have to crawl back in that ring with me, and the dues were going to be paid on one way or the other. Well, it's just like a John Wayne movie. You're going to get shot in the back. Are you going to come back like the Duke? Or are you going to go down like he did at the end of his life? Well, Dusty Rhodes, I'm a wrestling machine. And if you think I'm laying awake in bed scared to death of Dusty Rhodes, you're not. I get my rest and I go to the gym, but I train extra hard. Because I know it's going to be one heck of a fight when you and I meet. But Dusty Rhodes, you just crawl back if there's anything left after Bubba Rogers.
Let's go, fans, to our Schick match of the week.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. Any thoughts?
Man, I thought that was a really solid bare meat and potatoes wrestling, classic wrestling, personal issues, I'm going to hurt you promo. The only part I didn't like was when they brought up John Wayne movies, because that shit wears me. God, nothing. There is, I mean, very little in this world that irritates me more than John Wayne Westerns. It ruined.
Really?
It ruined Capital R ruined a generation of men, little boys, that never became little men because they think they're still playing pop guns out in the OK Corral.
Damn, you got to get all swole up in the chest about it. Shut up. Shit. I know what this is. This is about his dad.
What?
This is about his dad. His dad is one of them John Wayne sons of bitches who's blinded by so many things in life.
By the Duke.
It's just Doc's dad's hero is John Wayne. It's just
a friend of mine's dad. His big hero was fucking John Wayne, and he had all the John Wayne shit like in the house. And I was like, why'd your dad have all this?
Because he's a fucking mark. That's
I mean,
why.
Right. I mean, we were like fucking 8 years old. I was like, why you know?
But there's like, a whole generation. There's a whole generation of men, like the generation right before us, that was the fucking John Wayne
Marks. Marks. Okay. That motherfucker was gay and everybody knows it.
Come
and
on.
There ain't nothing wrong. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would like John
What's
Wayne more.
What's that got
more.
To do with anything?
Well, that fact would ruin the people who think John Wayne's.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
I don't give a shit. He can swish along on his little swishy horse all he wants. I don't give a shit. It's like I don't have to watch it.
I see what you're
but
saying.
That,
yeah.
But that fact would just destroy people.
The people who loved him, they can't realize that it was an act. It's a work. Like the whole show.
That's not even his real name.
His real name was Marion.
Yeah. Okay. It was a stage name.
And you know what most of those old bastards would be the first to tell you? That wrestling shit's fake.
No shit, yeah, no shit, assholes.
I can't believe you watched that bullshit. Now I'm gonna go watch The Shootist.
I like The Shootist.
Of course you do.
Can we get back to wrestling, Harper? Do you have anything from J.J. Dillon and Tully Blanchard? Or did you go take a piss just now?
No, well, the beginning, I was like, wait, this is what he said last week, kind of, sort of. And then I was like, okay, wait. Okay, here we go. And, I mean, Tully basically said, we remember what we did to you. And we fucking hurt you. And we know you're tough, but I'm fucking tougher than you. Fuck you.
Yeah, you kind of put Dusty over at the same time.
Uh-huh.
Which is what they're good at pretty much weekly. I can't add anything to what you two have said, so we'll go to the next match. It's Ole and Arn, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, versus the Kansas Jayhawks. Honestly, it doesn't get more old school than these four. You got Ole and Arn and Dutch and Jaggers. And Dutch
this
and Jaggers
is fun
worked,
to watch.
It sure was.
Yes, Dutch and Jaggers worked this old school match. You know, they're working an arm most of the match, too. It was long by Saturday night standards, obviously, because you got two competitive teams. But in the end, the Andersons are DQ'd when they are caught using JJ's shoe on Dutch. But, yeah, fun match to watch. Harper, what did you have from it?
It was – the psychology was filled to the fucking rim, man. They fucking worked the body part. They fucking cut the ring in half. There was a reason why they tagged in, the reason why they tagged out. It was just put together perfectly. These four guys knew exactly what in the fuck they were doing.
Yep. Doc, what did you have?
Well, I think some people might argue on the Dutch and Jaggers front, but Shivani said it. This is a main event anywhere in the country. It was enjoyable as hell. I got the sense, and boy, this might just be me. No, I'm right about this. I don't think Ole was all that fired up to sell for Dutch.
Well, I mean, it's possible because you hear stories some of the guys have told about Ole back then.
But the thing about it is that when those two were in the ring, it looked like they were really fighting for an advantage. So it made it look really cool and really real.
You imagine, we're all kind of glowing about this match. Imagine if this was on one of the worldwide shows and they're in the live, in front of a live crowd. That would have been a hot crowd.
God, yeah, that would have been a super hot crowd.
I mean, it wouldn't have been like a couple weeks back when it was Rock and Roll versus Ole and Arn and just ape shit crazy the whole time. But it would have been a hot crowd.
Well, and so to Harper's point about like using the ring to their advantage, like there was one point about I don't know, two-thirds, three-quarters of the way through the match where, like, Arn brought Dutch. Dutch had Arn down, but Arn brought Dutch over to their side of the ring and threw him against the ropes, and then Ole hit him in the back, and it was just like, gee, that makes so much sense when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, definitely here's the other thing. Every time Arn is in an extended match, I always think that that studio must be about 98 degrees because that motherfucker will sweat on you.
Yeah, he was dripping.
He still hadn't defended that TV belt in a while, but we'll overlook that because it was worth it to see this match.
Yeah, just wait to see what's coming on that front. Not this episode, but...
Well, here's the other thing. And this proves why you can do shit if you do it right. There wasn't a clear finish.
No. Well, it wasn't right at all. I mean, it was a DQ.
He threw the shoe in. Yeah.
And I can't remember how. I couldn't remember this match from being a kid. But I knew when they started it wasn't going to be a clean finish. And I still had a great time watching it.
Yeah, it was good. This is good stuff, man. I mean, this is, you know. Like I said, you put this in front of a live crowd, not a studio, man. These people are going nuts for this stuff, man. And I'm sure they did at some point. I'm sure these four got together on a live event. But, yeah, good stuff. All right, so like you said, no clean finish. Andersons are DQ'd when they are caught using JJ's shoe. We go from that to Ivan and Crusher. I am going to play it from the start just because I want to laugh again. Here it is. Yeah.
About some of the great tag teams going after the United States Tag Team Championship, Ivan Koloff, Crusher Crucian.
That's right. It's been a while since we've held a major title. At one time, we were the World Tag Team Champions. But the Rock and Roll Express robbed us along with the American referees. At one time, I was the Mid-Atlantic Champion, and the Road Warriors interfered. And we were the six-man World Tag Team title holders. And I was injured at the time, but what an opportune time to meet these men in the United States Tag Team Tournament. In fact, Ivan, what would be more fitting? Nikita with the United States belt and us with the World Tag Team belts. Or the United States Tag Team belts.
That's right. We would have completed our mission, followed out the orders of the Kremlin. And this upcoming tournament in Atlanta here for United States Tag Team titles, I know all the great teams such as the Road Warriors, America's Team, Dusty Rhodes, and Magnum TA, Rock and Roll Express, the Jayhawkers, this new team of Ron Garvin and Murdoch, the Midnight Express, the Andersons, or I should say the Four Horsemen. There's many, many teams that's going to be entered into. Our competition is going to be set out for us. Our job is going to be set out for us. And you're going to find out, Americans, in the past, you've always stuck together because you didn't like it when Russian athlete held major title in United States. But now, in this tournament, being it's such a prized possession, United States tag team titles, every team is going to be out for themselves. And you're going to find out that we are superior to you. You have a saying in America, united we stand, divided we fall. We also got the saying in Russia, united we stand, divided we also stand. Because we are superior to you. And you're going to find out that our mission will be carried out. Yes, that goes for you, Dusty Rhodes, America's team with Magnum TA. The Hands of Stone, Ron Garvin. All the great teams are forming together to get this prized possession. But our mission will be completed with Nephew Nikita holding on to United States Heavyweight title and with you, Crusher, and myself capturing United States Tag Team titles.
That's right.
The Russians.
Okay, so first off, it's, again, we say it weekly, but to listen to Crusher, you're like, God, that's the same dude from Demolition. Unreal.
I know, huh? Fuck.
It's weird. But anyway, and I hope Ivan got a raise that day because he single-handedly, to me, is promoting the piss out of that U.S. tag title tournament. Mm-hmm. And he needs a raise because I'm sure everybody's going is thinking to themselves, I'm going to boo the piss out of these Russians to make sure they don't win those belts. And those are the two main things I had. Harper, you first. What did you have?
Crusher does a promo at the same tone as a parent reading their kid a fucking bedtime story.
Mm-mm. I get into that shit.
And it's just like, then, oh, no, this happened. And then, it's almost like he must think he's in a fucking library or something. He's doing a promo.
My thought is somebody plays a rib on him and said, when that red light comes on, it's just practice time.
And then fucking Crusher starts up. Man, Nicholas from 1 to 1,000.
Right.
You mean Ivan?
Yeah, right. When fucking Ivan clocks in, it's like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
Shit.
Ivan turns it up as soon as he starts. Right there with you. Doc, what did you have?
Man, if Ivan comes out one more time, I'm going to be susceptible to believing that these U.S. titles are more important than the world belt. Shit.
He's hyping them up, man.
Man, I like that United we stand, divided we fall line. That shit was funny, too. It's a hot, man, it is a hot tag team division. This is an interesting tournament. And to be honest, I looked it up last night. I didn't remember who won. I do now, and I won't spoil it. Interesting. And also, I'm going to go ahead and give the Tim Horner Award to Crusher Khrushchev this week. And if you don't listen to our Smoky Mountain show, first of all, shame on you. And second of all, that's something we do regularly as a feature of our Smoky Mountain show. And again, shame on you.
Okay, Doc.
I got to do something to market the show since I gave that job to you and you have failed miserably.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right. Well, let's keep moving then. I'm not going to play Wahoo right here, but I will say this.
Great.
Yeah. Basically, there's a conversation with Wahoo and Tony where they're talking about who is the rightful, like, number one contender to the NWA World title. Wahoo is the national champion right now, as we know, and Nikita is the U.S. champion. So keep that in mind. We're going to get some clarification in a second about who technically...
I don't think so.
Well... You're right. I don't know.
That shit was right behind Rage in a Cage for. I was like, wait, what?
Well, I'm gonna make it make a little bit more sense when we get to it in a second. So, I'll keep moving though. But then, so the next match after Wahoo cuts that promo where not much is said, you get Nikita Koloff versus Randy Barber. Wow, Wahoo was on commentary, and I was just like, oh no. Nikita obviously wins, and I don't mean to bag on Wahoo. It's just good thing this was a quick match. It's just he wasn't a commentator. Nikita wins. Doc, anything from that at all?
Randy Barber would look like a cracked out Buzz Sawyer if Buzz Sawyer didn't look like a cracked out Buzz Sawyer.
Wow, that's classy, Doc.
He got some stuff in the beginning. Then
he did.
It was game over.
Yeah, he got a little bit in the beginning, and then he was murdered by Nikita.
Yeah.
All right. So right after that, though, like I said, we got Wahoo's out here and Jim Crockett comes out and then Ivan comes out. So let's give a listen to what they're going to talk about.
Obviously, the Russian, the U.S. heavyweight champion, trying to intimidate Chief Wahoo McDaniel. Let's bring in Mr. Jim Crockett Jr., president of Jim Crockett Promotions. We talked about the Russian saying that the U.S. title was the number one contender and Wahoo being the national champion.
They have a point. As you know, the National Wrestling Alliance has decided to have a tournament sort of for the vacant national titles, except national and U.S. denotes the same area covered by the title. So that is U.S. Tag Team Championship here in Atlanta in the Omni. The NWA has proposed, and it's up to the two champions to decide if they want to defend their titles against each other and have just one champion representing the entire United States. The national title represents the United States. The U.S. title represents the U.S. And we have the contracts. They are available, and it's going to be up to the two champions to decide if they want to defend their belts under these circumstances. They're not going to order that match.
Okay, Wahoo, what about that?
Well, I don't want a title that doesn't mean anything, and I will abide with what the NWA says. But I think the national title has always been the number one contender, and I believe it's the number one contender.
Okay, we're joined by Ivan Koloff now.
Here's the number one.
I don't want no trouble out here, Wahoo McDaniel. But does that mean you accept contract to wrestle nephew Nikita? Because I believe also there should only be one representative of America. Only one belt for number one contender to world title. And so nephew Nikita will definitely sign contract. You sign contract, Wahoo McDaniel. Nephew Nikita will defeat you, take away national title, put it on trophy case. Then there will only be one. United States heavyweight title has always been represented as number one contender to world title. And nephew Nikita will defeat you.
So you do accept, Wahoo?
I'll say one thing. You get your nephew, and if he can write, you put his name on there because I'm not afraid of it.
Okay. Chief Wahoo McDaniel, the national champion, along with Mr. Jim Crockett Jr. Thank you, Jimmy, for joining
us. Thank you, Tony.
Okay, we'll be right back. Right after.
Man, they took the long, Crockett Jr. took the long route right there to just explain that the NWA wants to unify the titles.
God, I think I figured something out, though.
What?
I think Jim Crockett is mentoring Crusher Khrushchev on how to do promos.
Well, you can't get mad at Crockett because he's
God.
He's not a talent. He's
then keep your ass off screen.
Okay, but I mean, I was like, damn, can we please just. All he had to come out there and say was, the NWA is proposing that we unify the national and U.S. titles since they basically cover the same geographic area.
God. Well, we're going to have 5 status matches, and whoever wins that gets
right. Hopper, go ahead and give us your expert commentary on this if
well,
I didn't get it.
I can say I thought fucking Wahoo looked like someone from the fucking Sopranos. I never noticed it before. I was like, with the big nose and the black hair, it looks like an old Italian guy, like a mob boss.
He never saw The Sopranos. It's only the best show in the history of television.
No, actually, I have it queued up to watch. I'm actually in the middle of another series right now.
Oh, God, it's the best show. You think Game of Thrones is great? Fuck that, dude. Sopranos, bro.
Sopranos is the absolute best television show in the history of television.
I got a queue to watch. Don't worry. I'm
going
to get to it.
And then when you get done with that, you need to go watch The Wire.
Yeah, I've heard about that, but I've actually seen a little bit of it. It didn't captivate me, but I'm going to do The Sopranos. All right.
Well, you probably don't like to see your fellow people get caught up in the drug game.
Fuck you. Okay. Let's get back to this. Doc, thoughts on this here?
I don't know what to think because it's like we want to unify them, but we're not going to make you wrestle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Okay, I don't want to wrestle.
Well, fuck you then. I guess there's no fucking.
I agree. They should have just like said, "Look, we're unifying them," but they made it optional. But whatever. Wahoo sounds like he's going to do it.
And that's where exactly where the heel goes. Okay, fine. We're not going to do it.
Right. But let's see what happens with that. Anyway, let's move forward. Next match is Tully and Jimmy Garvin versus Henry Rutley and Mike Rose. The finish of this match, I'll give it, was Tully hits the slingshot suplex and Jimmy Garvin hits the brainbuster. Garvin and Tully win as they pin their opponents simultaneously. Doc, what did you have? Anything?
I think, I don't know, this was my initial thought, that you would not see something like this in today's wrestling out of the blue, where they mix a faction or a team like that. I thought it was great because it was like, oh, what's going on here?
Yeah.
It was interesting because my first thought was, wait, Jimmy Garvin's partner is Mr. Electricity Steven Regal.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that guy.
They're the former AWA World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, that guy is he's on Worldwide this particular week, September 6th as well.
He's the light heavyweight champion, right?
No.
And that black guy.
The junior. He's the junior. I think he just won, I think on the September 6th episode, or maybe it's the 13th, he wins the NWA junior heavyweight title or something like that. He loses a title to Denny Brown, a dude who smokes
the most stoned interview in the history of wrestling.
Dude, there's a promo on NWA Worldwide. I think it's on a September 6, 1986 episode. And he fucking,
man,
lit up a whole bush.
If I ever went into a legal dispensary in one of the states where that shit's legal, I'd pull up that video and go, I want whatever this guy was smoking.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's like, oh, Tony, I guess if I say, and I'm a winner, I win the NWA Junior Heavyweight title my second time, and oh, shit, do you see the elephants flying around my head? He's so stoned. It's, like, unreal. You can see it in his eyes. But anyway.
Back to my point, we think of the horseman as this, solidarity. Yet here's Blanchard teaming with Garvin, and apparently they're going to the tournament together. I think it's interesting, and it shows the more fluid nature of the roster than you would get today, where everybody's got to be programmed into something with,
But let me tell you something, too. I think you see a lot more of that on Saturday night than you do on, like, the Worldwide shows.
Okay. Maybe that could be travel or somebody's hungover.
Well, the NWA Worldwide and NWA Pro, the other shows that were going on during this time, sometimes they didn't even have the same angles fucking airing. It didn't even. It's
well, that's
hard to
fucking
explain.
Confusing.
It was, but you had markets that didn't get. I mean, like, we didn't get Worldwide. We didn't know what the fuck was going on. So all we got was this. So, yeah.
Here's the thing. I have a feeling that a lot more went on in Smoky Mountain than we see on TV. How long was Bobby in the promotion before we saw his ass literally on TV?
Yeah, well, he'll tell you that. He worked a bunch of stuff, like not dark matches, but non-televised house shows and shit. So, yeah.
Bobby, I know you're out there listening. It's coming up, your episode where you show your bare ass on fucking TV, and we had to talk about it. Thanks a lot.
We talked about Bobby's ass. Okay, let's keep going. Next match is Warlord with Baby Doll versus Jack Weathers. Harper, you asked a question a week or two ago about what was going to happen to Warlord. Well, we got our answer. He's still with Baby Doll, even though Baby Doll flipped. So Warlord is a heel. Crockett accidentally calls him the Road Warrior at the end of the match. This is, excuse me. I mean, he looks just like him, so it's everything but the face paint. I mean,
he could be like a cousin or something.
Right. I mean, even the red lettering on the tights, everything
is
Road Warrior.
He's the Lance Von Erich here.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. was that your analysis of the match?
I had none. I was like, so this motherfucker's a heel now?
Okay. Well, let me.
I'm thinking, okay, they probably separated Baby Doll with him, and he's on his own. It's like, nope, there she is.
Hey, man, that just tells you what a good guy Rick is. Baby, you want to get out there and have your own career, that's fine. That's fine. I just need my cut.
Well, speaking of that, so let's listen to what she says after the match. Baby Doll's going to cut a promo with Warlord.
And here they are, Baby Doll and the Warlord.
First of all, I want to say one thing, and that is my relationship with Ric Flair is nobody's business but my own. And right now, I'm going to do something that no other girl has ever done. I'm going to take Warlord to the Central States area, and I'm going to tear the place apart. I'm going to show those plainsmen something that they have absolutely never seen before, especially in Baby Doll, and most of all in Warlord. So Central States, watch out, because we're coming.
That's right, Baby Doll.
Baby Doll and the Warlord, and a threat to the Central States area from Baby.
All right, I'll stop there because Cornette's about to come out. Doc, any thoughts on Baby Doll there with Warlord?
That's the precursor to the sale of the promotion where they're doing some talent exchange that got us Landale and blah, blah, blah. But I think Sam Houston's headed that way, and that would make sense that Baby Doll would be headed that way too then, right?
Dude, I got to play for a promo to week next week. Yes, you're right. I got to play for a promo next week for you too. The September 6, 1986 episode with Sam Houston and Todd Champion. They cut two different promos on Worldwide. And
two?
Dude, Sam Houston starts talking about fucking the rats.
What?
On the promo. Dude, it's so fucking ridiculous. It's unreal. Yes. Him and Todd Champion, it goes on way too long. Like, literally, they cut one in the beginning and then it gets cut off. So then they pick back up like 30 minutes later in the episode, and Sam Houston looks like he's 21 years old, giggling, talking about the broads in the Central States and how they're going to be late. I mean, he doesn't say this. I'm basically making these words up. But essentially, he's like, we're going to be out there, and we're going to lay some pipe down, and we're going to fuck some hoes. But he does it in the Sam Houston golly gee voice. It's so
I call that the Tracy Smothers approach.
Yeah. Dude, it's so utterly ridiculous.
Mr. Caudle, there's a lot of fine-looking women out here at these matches now. Well, Tracy, you're going to be laying lots of pipe, aren't you? Remember when
I remember when Caudle said that. But it's so ridiculous. I wish I had the disc drive on me right now, but I would actually find it and play it. But we'll have to play it for promo.
Well, write it down
week.
Because we all know what the not getting your hands up chair shot CTE has done to your brain. So you're going to need to take a note.
Okay, whatever you say, Doc. That'll be next week's promo of the week, and you're going to be like, what did I just watch? And Harper, you can go tell Sam when you see him at practice, hey, I was watching September 86, and you were talking about going to the Central States and laying some pipe down.
Well, they probably had to do something.
Dude, and knowing Sam's a fucking storyteller in the back. I'm, That motherfucker will remember that shit some kind of way, or he'll make it up if he doesn't. Oh, yeah, Harper, let me tell you about it. I even use that on my comedy shows. Okay. Harper, any thoughts from Baby Doll there? Now that we're back on
show. Nah,
All right. Let's play Corny real quick. Corny's about to close out the show. Here it is.
Baby Doll and the Warlord. World Championship Wrestling once again.
Wait a minute. Oh, shut up.
Now,
I've been on the phone for an hour. David Crockett, come in here. Come in here, David. I've been on the phone for an hour, and I want to tell you something. You're the one that put all those ideas in her head, coming out here last week before, saying that I ain't been paying attention to my men. I've been trying to come over here and be a commentator. You're the one that put the ideas in her head. It is all your fault. It was not my fault. It wasn't Bobby and Dennis's fault. We were stolen. We were ripped off. We were robbed of the World Tag Team titles. It wasn't any shortcomings of ours, and it wasn't any shortcomings that was caused by me being out here or anything like that. It was a crooked referee. It was a fast count. They pulled the tights. Everything happened. It was a fluke. It was a nothing but a fluke. It was nothing but a ripoff. And I'm going to tell you this, Rock and Roll Express, you're not going to get away with lightning striking. You're not going to get away with a one in a million victory getting those World Tag Team belts away from us. I promise you. I promise you it wasn't my fault. I paid all the attention to the boys that I always do. I tried to make sure that they were trained, that they were well fit. I promise you that it was not my fault and it wasn't their fault. Nothing that they did had anything to do with it. Like I said, it was just the referee. That's all it was. It was the referee. It was the illegal man that was pinned anyway. The NWA should have overturned it. I promise that it wasn't anything that I did. You know how much I like being out of here, but I'm going to tell you this. I promise you, and you know I've never lied to you before, and I know that you know that I get upset when you're perturbed with me. We are going to get those World Tag Team titles back from the Rock and Roll Express. I promise you that. And remember, I've never lied to you from the time that I was this big. So you remember, we will get the World Tag Team titles back around Bobby and Dennis's waist. And it wasn't my fault. And I didn't. David, it's all your fault is what it is.
Jim Cornette. Fans, we'll see you right here next.
Cornette crying is kind of funny. His mama has obviously chewed him out. Harper, anything else right there?
It's not his fault.
Yeah, nothing's his fault. He's a heel.
No, right. Fucking asshole ref.
Oh, Doc, thoughts?
I was confused. I didn't know what happened to set this up. They lost the belts a while back.
They didn't set it up good when he ran off. All they said was he got a phone call. It might have helped if they'd have said Corny just got a phone call from Mama Cornette and he had to go off.
But again, we talk about the little things, which is scoring, you know, without having a play called for you. I thought Schiavone sold it at the end when he deadpanned and just went Jim Cornette. Just like, what the fuck?
Right.
He did a good job there. Go back and watch it. You'll see. Yeah, You know what I'm talking about.
I do. Harper, anything else before we give out a Rolex and rate this puppy?
No. Who gets the Rolex?
So, can we give Rolexes to more than one guy? Like if it's a match?
No, fuck that. No.
Okay, make a decision with your punk ass. That's the problem.
I couldn't remember if we were allowed
CTE,
to do that.
CTE, couldn't remember.
Fuck you. I'm not giving out a Rolex this week since you want to be an asshole.
Well, that's not robbing me of anything. That's robbing the listeners. Remember that, people. That's your hero. That's the host of your favorite
podcast.
What are
you talking about?
Here's your John Wayne.
Here's your John Wayne. God, what a fucking ridiculous.
Why can't I give the Rolex to a tag team?
I just give it to the whole episode. God damn, pal.
No,
everybody
I didn't
gets
say
a
that.
Rolex. Merry Christmas.
God damn, pal. Fuck.
These fell off a truck.
I'm gonna give it to like Ole and Arn in that tag match. They get it. Actually, I probably could give it to Dutch and Bobby Jaggers, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that tag match, man, that did it for me. Who are you giving yours to, Doc?
I'm going to tell you right now, when we started this show, my Rolex was going to Arn Anderson because I thought he flew around the ring selling. But as we went through the show, I changed my mind, and them shits is going to Uncle Ivan.
Yeah, really, huh?
Man, he put in triple duty on the mic, and he's selling everything, pal.
That's true, too. He's talking into the building for that tournament.
Yeah. He'll sell the fillings out of the corpse, man. He was putting it out there.
Yeah, that's true. Harper, who are you giving yours to?
Fucking Uncle Ivan, bro.
How come Harper and I always get this shit right every week, and you always mess it up?
I mean, he worked his ass off.
He sure did. What are you going to rate it, Doc?
Well, don't you need to talk about the patrons? Like, signing up?
Yeah.
Or, you know, how about I help you here?
Well, 49er Dodger.
Armando Martinez or Crispy Critters or whoever he is. I don't know.
We're going to do that in a minute.
Look, this is the Christmas show. You got that last minute shopping. You got that Amazon Prime. You need to get the gifts in tomorrow. You need to use the Amazon link. Look, all those other podcasts are going to say that they work harder than Mike, and they do. But
no,
fuck
don't.
Those guys.
You just stole Brian Lass's gimmick, man.
Man, I'll steal anything at this point. It's Christmas. I'll break in your house. I'll steal your gifts. I'll steal your gimmick. I don't care.
Before anybody tries to start any shit, Brian Lass, Doc, and I are good friends. Because I can tell you right now, some dipshit out there will be like, they said fuck those guys on BTT. Don't start shit, okay? Go ahead, Doc. You were saying something else, though.
Just saying fuck those guys.
Yeah, I hear you there, man. All right, so
no, I'm a big fan of the 605. It's one of the mini podcasts I listen to, but it's at the top of my queue.
Yeah, amen to that. So I don't even know where we're. Okay, let's rate the show.
You gotta tell them where to find the Amazon link, simpleton.
I already said it. tinyurl.com/btcamazon.
But that was fast. Well, hold on. Let me get a pen.
BTT Amazon. tinyurl.com/BTT Amazon. And here's the other part. If you missed that link, it's in the show notes. Also,
so here's
the patron link. tinyurl.com/BTT patron.
Stop.
It's in the link.
Mike's done his job finally after Harper and I worked him through it. Now, people, it's up to you. No excuses, motherfuckers.
Yeah, clock in. Fuck.
Use the link. Subscribe to the video. Just do your thing.
Subscribe.
It is Christmas and we need it. Hey,
Merry fucking Christmas.
You got to know, we may just close this podcast down in 2018 if we don't get more patrons. You never know. Okay, there's nothing nothing's guaranteed, man.
10-4, Doc. I'm with you there. Doc, what are you going to rate this puppy?
Man, this is one of those things where I went back and forth. And at first I was like, man, there wasn't anything that, like, you know, that was a good match, but blah, blah, blah. But then you realize, not every episode is going to have a new guy in the promotion. Not every episode is going to have that turn. This was just a solid 65 or whatever minutes of entertainment by guys that can do it at a consistently high level. I'm going to say A-.
Harper, what are you giving it?
A. This was a nice fucking episode, and I think it has something to do with it just being a fucking hour long.
You said a mouthful there.
Yeah.
I gave it an A-, and it's the same reason Doc did. I mean, you definitely had some good things in here. But
tag match was fucking great.
Yep. You had the tag match, 65, 66, 67 minutes long, and you had Uncle Ivan out there doing some good stuff. A couple of different promos mixed in right at about the hour mark. Good stuff. A-, man, for sure. Definitely an A-. I enjoyed this, man. This was definitely good episode, and the next two are only like 42 and 43 minutes. They're short.
A plus.
The next two, I looked ahead, man. They're short.
I don't care if Crusher Khrushchev comes out and cuts a 42-minute Russian manifesto. he reads the communist papers from Karl Marx. Season the means of production. I don't care, man. That's an A+.
Jesus Christ. All right, let's do some Ask BTT stuff. I put this on Twitter, and I figured, you know, we had a shorter episode, so if I don't get to all of them this week, we will get to the rest next week. So I just want to throw that out there. Let's get this to a few. So the first one I got actually via DM. It's from a longtime patron at Drew M. Farmer on Twitter. And he said, I've got a question to ask for the segment. You worked in the business and you were a hardcore champion. Harper works in the business. And he's talking about how to make a blade. Was there an art to it? Hogan claims he always kept it in his mouth. Flair on his finger. What did you do? I'm going to let Harper think about this for a minute because I'm almost 99.9% sure that Harper has never bladed himself, but I'll let him answer.
No. Fuck no.
I'll give you my answer. So there's a lot of different ways that they're made. You get one of those little thin stainless steel blades, literally use a pair of scissors, a nice pair of scissors, to cut them. And some guys do, like Flair did, or like he's saying here, Flair, put it on their finger. I know Rod put it on his finger. I used to see him do that when he worked. I taped it to my wrist and pulled it out from there and then just hit my head, and that was how I did it. It was nothing real special. I had it wrapped in tape on one end and barely a little point sticking out on the other end, and when I pulled it from my wrist that was usually taped, I just cut my head open. But
so let me ask you this.
Here's the other thing. Hold on, Doc.
Let me hop it. Oh, God damn.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to say something. Drew, Doc likes to talk about my head looking like minced meat. He's full of bullshit. My head does not look that bad.
So that's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to say. I was like, and don't listen to him. The right side of his head looks like Abdul the Butcher.
Send me a picture.
And the left side just looks like a normal piece of shit jackass. So my question was, is did you nick the right side because you kept it in your right hand and you were more comfortable right-handed and just felt like you could do it better that way?
I nicked all the way across. I don't know what you're talking about.
Way to expose the business, pal.
Okay. I know this wasn't Drew's question, but
I'm not putting a razor blade in my mouth. Just
yeah, fuck that. That.
Out my garage, and I keep razor blades out there so that I can cut myself like a teenager that listens to The Cure. But I ain't putting that shit in my mouth. Ever.
I'm not putting that shit in my mouth. Yeah.
All the guys I've seen did it. I mean, like you said, they fucking cut it with a pair of scissors and they taped their wrist and then they tape it to the,
to the wrist?
To their wrist, yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to do because your wrist has the white tape on it. And then,
right.
And then what you do is you take a piece and you put the blade under the piece and then you tape like a piece of tape over the blade. And all you got to do is like, it looks like you're just touching your wrist. You just freaking pull it out, hit it on your head. And then I used to actually just put it back in my wrist. I could do that with relative ease and tape the wrist back down and that was it. But I used to see guys who did the finger thing. I didn't like that shit because I always thought I could fuck something
Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, yeah. Now I don't know how true this is. I was always told that Abdullah the Butcher would have them on his fingers. And it, like if you ever watch him blade, you see him like swiping down on his head. And I was like, yeah, screw that. I'm not putting blades on my hell no. So yeah,
Let me help out our docaholic there and let me ask a follow up question. You ever know any guys that would reuse the blade? Because that's gross. But you know how wrestlers are cheap.
Nah, no.
Okay.
All right. Next question from @DCCameron5, also a patron member, longtime patron member. Does Doc now always say sitting crisscross applesauce now that his son has taught him how to be PC?
No, I tell him to stop being a fag.
Oh, Jesus. I got to edit that out, man.
No, you don't.
Nah, he's just playing, everybody. Don't be upset. Fuck. Like we always say, we're the most unprofessional wrestling podcast there is. Anyway, so
man, you got to understand something, man. If you're about our age, the world has changed since we were in school. It ain't the same. There's very little about school that was like when I went to school.
None of it.
Totally different.
And there's just, we've grown as a people to wasn't the smallpox enough? Weren't the blankets enough? Weren't the reservations enough? The Trail of Tears? Can't we just call it crisscross? Yeah, it sounds stupid, but you know what? There's some engine somewhere that makes happen.
Y'all don't have the visual. I know Doc's son, and I can visualize and hear his voice when Doc tells him, "Why are you sitting Indian style?" I can see him looking up going, "What are you talking about, Dad?" I can't even get it out. And little Doc is there, and he's just like, this is called crisscross applesauce. Like, the visual of him trying to smarten his dad up is hilarious to me. Yeah, so that's what I got on that.
So, yeah, man, you got to be careful with that shit, because, man, it's a progressive world out there in the schools these days.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, Adam P. on Twitter, hashtag AskBTT. Do you guys think that Buddy Landell could have carried the strap if he didn't have personal issues? And do you think a half a star Bill Dundee hurt Buddy by being teamed up with him? Let me answer that first, because there's two things with that. There's two parts. One is when he first got fired for not showing up to work. I have heard Baby Doll say, and I've heard Buddy say on an interview, that before he got fired, Buddy was gonna get they were gonna put the belt on him, from what I remember. Now, he may have been more of a transitional champion and he wouldn't have held it long, but I think I heard Baby Doll say that, and I wanna say Buddy even said that at one point in an interview I've heard. So that's the first part of it. The second part for me, as far as Dundee hurting Buddy when they came back, I think at that point Buddy's ship probably had sailed in regards to the NWA World title, and it just wasn't going to happen because of the personal issues. And, you know, at that point he's not trustworthy. I mean, you know, we did that Buddy Landell patron episode where Buddy was like, if I ever had fuck you money, I would just be like, fuck you, and just do what I want to do. And that was Buddy's attitude, unfortunately, as much as we loved him. So, Doc, anything you have on that?
Man, it's such a big if, because if you talk about talent and the NWA being quote-unquote a southern promotion, and let's be clear, it kind of was, he fits perfectly. Mm-hmm. The thing I never liked about his gimmick, I just never liked him being the Nature Boy with Ric Flair walking around. And yeah, you could work that into a gimmick, but it's like, man, be you. And I think part of that is that Buddy was so into it at such an early age, he didn't know who he was.
He's like Michael Jackson?
Maybe.
Somebody asked me on Twitter, did Buddy mention he was the Nature Boy in Mid-South in like 85? And I don't remember him saying that. So, like, my recollection of Buddy in Mid-South was, he wasn't the Nature Boy, but then you're right. He gets there in 85 and he's the Nature Boy too, along with Flair. So I don't know, man. That probably did take away from it. But, I mean, let's be real. Flair wasn't the original Nature Boy either. He just kind of perfected it, I guess. But that's a two-part question, Adam. I mean, I appreciate it. But, yeah, if I mean, Harper, what do you think? Do you think if he wouldn't have his personal issues, that's true, he maybe would have got at least a short run?
I think he would. I think if he was clean, I think he would have at least gotten it once or twice, kind of like Tommy Rich.
You got to remember, too, he was a national heavyweight champion, which was
right,
the number one contender for it. So
then all of a sudden, Dusty showed up with it.
Well, because Buddy got fired, right, and they had to do something with the belt. So just on that alone, basically from what Baby Doll has said and what I've heard actually Buddy say on other interviews, I mean, we'll never know, but I think he would have got it. And I think he could have. The only thing is, I don't think Buddy would have had a long run, even if he stayed healthy. But, you know, you never know. That's one of those things you never know. So, Adam, thanks for the question, man. I know you listen to the Smoky Mountain Show and this show weekly, so appreciate it. We got some crazy questions now coming up. So, at Jan Michael Bogota, who is the man and why does he keep holding the BTT brothers down? The man is the white man, and he's the corporate white man. Matter of fact, we got a new T-shirt out. It's called Corporate Wrestling Sucks. It's the brainchild of Doc Turner. Check the show description. The link is in the notes. You'll want this shirt, trust me, because corporate wrestling does suck. Who is the man? If we had a man holding us down, yeah, we'd be fucked, because the man is all about corporations. So, Doc, any thoughts on this?
Man, let me tell you something. You don't like politics, but the Booker man in the corporations is doing money angels this week, pal.
Hopper.
Them son bitches went over, pal.
Let me tell you something about politics. There's only one political party that really
matters in this world, and it's the
The
Booker. It's the Booker man.
Let me tell you something.
It's the Booker man political party.
All these
it ain't got nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans. It's the Booker man.
Well, before all these whiny bitches start crying about me talking about politics, let me tell you. If you don't want me to talk about politics, let me tell you about something else, pal. I'm in the tax bracket to get the highest bump in my taxes, so I'm just getting richer and richer. So y'all can just sit around and squabble about politics. I'm gonna go count my money.
Yeah.
And there's a shoot.
He's so full of shit. Hopper, any thoughts on the man?
I don't know. Who's the man? Like, for real.
If you did. Ric Flair's the man. Everybody knows.
All right. Longtime patron Hall of Famer at that, at @Justin_Andretti. Would you even be upset if La Parca banged you or Doc's wife? I wouldn't. But what if it was Hopper under the hood?
What?
Doc, thoughts?
Man, just because we're into sharing stories about classic wrestling don't mean we're into wife swapping. I mean,
yeah, I'm Catholic, man.
What kind of hillbilly shit is that?
Yeah.
We need to move to the Smokies for that kind of thing.
Speaking of Catholic, the Mullet of Morton had one for you, Hopper. He wanted to know who you would want to bang. Who gives you un-Catholic thoughts? Would it be Blanche in her prime, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss?
Oh, fuck, bro. God damn.
Or Blanche now.
Did we lose a war? Why does he have to choose?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Out of those four. Well, Mullet of Morton has a thing for Nia Jax. He's down.
I
like Nia Jax.
I do too. I think she's
pretty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't cut him down. I mean,
he's down at the peep show, nighttime janitor, thinking up these scenarios.
So Hopper, answer the question. Blanche in her prime, Blanche now, Alexa Bliss or Nia Jax?
Nia Jax.
Oh, okay. That's a shocker.
But I'll take, oh, fuck, man. I can't pick, like.
Well, who gives you the most un-Catholic thoughts?
Oh, fuck. Well, not Blanche. No.
It's got to be Nia Jax.
Man. Yeah, because I follow her on fucking Instagram, so yeah.
Papa likes them big bitches.
Uh-huh.
You're one to talk.
I know, bro. Go follow the curve. You'll love that shit.
That's on Instagram, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some thick broads on there. Jesus. All right. The Eye of Gibson. How much of my stuff are you guys going to steal? We're going to steal it all, Bob.
We'll steal it all. How about this? We'll take what we want.
That's right.
That's right.
I'm not going to ask this one.
Say it.
We ain't afraid.
At Jan Michael Bogota, are the rumors of the BTT crew being of the Caucasian persuasion really true?
I hate to break this to you, but there ain't nothing but honkies littering this shit.
Yeah,
okay.
At PN News Jr., last question of the night. How did Kip Fry not see the superstar potential in me that Jim Herd did? On a scale of lots to unquantifiable, how much do you think he regrets missing on me? He doesn't, PN News Jr., but I appreciate your support of the show. Thank you very much.
You know, I heard, and it's not, I know it's Kip Fry and it's different, but I heard on the last Corny's drive through that Cornette actually came to the conclusion on the air that Jim Herd did more damage to the wrestling business than Vince Russo did, which I thought was an incredible claim given some of the things we've heard from Corny in the past.
He said, one of the points he made was he said that because of Jim Herd, WWF had a 6-year head start on WCW, which, I mean, man, there's a lot of truth there, man.
Man, that early 90s WCW was some hokey shit.
Yeah, like the fucking, like the RoboCop type shit.
Yes.
I mean, you can find some things and there's some good.
Yeah, that's right. You have to dig for it. But there's, like, you can see the Steiners whoop somebody's ass or whatever, and you can get there if you try. But, man, you got to sift through some real rancid shit to get there, pal.
Yeah. Some real rancid shit. No kidding about that. Yeah, so that was, I think I got them all. That was Ask BTT. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. I don't know.
Hey, we'll get the 300, we get the, what, 205-star reviews. You cut a promo on a famous wrestling podcaster, and at 300, we bring on the bitches.
I kind of want to bring on the broads at 200.
Man, that's going to take some work to get these broads on.
But anyway, so give us a 5-star review on iTunes if you're listening there. We'd appreciate it. It greatly helps the show out, so please do so. I want to thank everybody for listening this week, and thank you for, you know, thanks for all your support. It's Christmas. Doc, you got any Christmas wishes before we get out of here for the BTT Army? Anything you want to tell them before we go?
Man, driving's more fun when you're drunk. So go to your Christmas party and get behind the wheel, man.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's real nice. Harper, anything you want to tell the people?
Go to fucking January 6th. Boston Middle School.
What time?
7 o'clock. Bell time.
Who's on
7.
The card?
Billy Gunn. Stevie Richards.
There you go.
Mr. Ass.
Mr. Ass.
There you go. So there you go. Check out Wildcat Sports coming up shortly. But, yeah, so for Mike and Doc, you know, before we get out of here, I want to remind everyone, go follow us on Twitter, at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper, let's get his follows up. He's at CJH. Who dat? So go check him out there. Go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. When you click the shop now, Brudden, it will bring you to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. And then, like I said, we have a brand new T-shirt up on the T Public store. I'm working to get it to the Pro Wrestling Tee store, but right now it's only on the T Public store. And it is the brainchild of Doc Turner. And the T-shirt says, "Corporate Wrestling Sucks." And I gotta be honest, I think it's one of our best T-shirts, but that's just my personal opinion. Corporate wrestling sucks. And then it also says Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast. So check that out. We'd appreciate it. It's a nice looking shirt, and it comes in a variety of colors. So hopefully you'll enjoy it. The link is in the show description, so just check it below. I want to remind everyone to check out my friends, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, from the Kingpin Brian Malonis and Mike Crockett. Malonis just works some ROH stuff, and I think he may start to work a little bit more with them. So check them out. They're doing a lot more classic stuff these days, and they do some good stuff on Mondays and Thursdays on their shows. Just search the WPAN. And I think that's all I got, man. Become a patron, please. tinyurl.com/BTTpatron. Great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Seriously, it really is. I do need to thank the Hall of Famers real quick, and then we'll get out of here. At Justin_Andretti, at LS, REMiller39, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, at ShipDaddy32, at USC49Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at TOG94, at SV Pageant, Matt Martinhall 71, at Tim Orechi, Codeman822, at Godbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. Merry motherfucking Christmas to all of you, and to all of you a good night. Harper, I think Doc's done. Hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.
Welcome to World Class Championship Wrestling from the world-famed Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you World Class Championship Wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.